The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. Good morning. Welcome. So glad to spend some time with you. George, I appreciate you being out of town. One, because I just don't like you in town, but also because I get to sit in for you. What a treat. I'm John Caldera. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Oh, let me do some shameless plugging for my real gig. Check out the Independence Institute. Go to thinkfreedom.org. That's thinkfreedom.org. We're your friendly hometown free market think tank. We work on free market issues. What the heck does that mean? Well, we've been around since 1985. We've been that organization that points to true north. We believe in the founder's vision of truth, justice, and the American way. Wait, that's not what Jefferson wrote. We believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Basically, that the individual is sovereign. And we believe that Colorado should be the perfect state for individuals to thrive. That's why we believe that parents should choose their kids' education. We believe you should keep your own money. That's why we worked so diligently to bring the flat tax here to Colorado in 1987. It's why we've worked to lower it. Remember, well, maybe you don't remember, but before 1987, we had a punitive, progressive income tax. That is, the more you made, the higher your rate was. So we had an 8% income tax. We brought it to 5. And over the years, we're now at 4.4. We want to bring it to 0. We were able to get charter schools here in Colorado. We were able to get a preemption law statewide so that cities couldn't pass their own ridiculous anti-gun laws. Until just recently, when Governor Polis decided to sign a bill to unleash this torrent of local gun laws. We passed a concealed weapons law, which required all sheriffs to give a concealed weapons permit to those who passed the requirements to have one. Before that, occasionally you could get a concealed weapons permit if the sheriff liked you, which meant in places like Denver, you could never get a concealed weapons permit. Anyway, check us out. Go to thinkfreedom.org. Thinkfreedom.org. At the very least, click the little button for our newsletter. And I don't always succeed, to send out a little note once a week to let you know what's going on. We have these great little events. I think on April 13th, is it the 13th? Yeah, Thursday the 13th. We're going to whine about all these ridiculous bills that are coming through the legislature. We're going to have a wine and cheese party. Yeah, we're going to whine about the legislation. And we're going to pair each bill with a nice wine and cheese. So we'll be able to complain about the bills and do what we do best, drink. Yeah, we like to have a little fun. So sign up for that. And by the way, if you want to come to our little after party, by all means do. We have a little happy hour. We're going to literally wine and cheese. And we'll talk to some of our specialists about what's going on with these bills so we get to know them a little better. Come and see our offices at our Freedom Embassy, just a few blocks away from the Capitol. We'd love to have you. Also, check out CompleteColorado.com. CompleteColorado.com is your one-stop news source. It looks and feels and drives a lot like the Drudge Report. We modeled it after that. We aggregate stories about, would you believe it, Colorado and Colorado politics. So we try to scoop up all the important stories from around Colorado so you don't have to pay for a newspaper. We try to get all the stories from paywall-free sources so you get a sense of what's going on around the state politically. Bring all the news, all the opinion right to you. You can read my column. You can read Mike Rosen's column. You can get all the stuff right there. That's CompleteColorado.com. One-stop shopping. So there it is. Just two little places. ThinkFreedom.org, CompleteColorado.com. See, we just try to make it easy for you. All right. This story, thank you, Mr. Thorpe. I was looking for it. You got it to me. The 12-time All-American swimmer who competed at Kentucky blasted ESPN for honoring some woman at the Women's History Month segment that they put on. So Riley Gaines is a 12-time All-American swimmer. She's an incredible swimmer. But apparently ESPN put on a celebrating history, Women's History Month segment. Well, that's nice. Isn't it nice that they're celebrating women in sports? I think that's spectacular. I mean, don't you? It's nice that women get honored. Oh. But they didn't honor her. I guess you can be kind of grouchy about that. But they did honor another woman, and she's not happy about it. Yep. Gaines has been at the forefront of women's sports, calling for fair treatment and keeping transgender women from competing against biological females at the highest level of competition. Gaines tied with former Penn swimmer for the NCAA championships last year. She blasted ESPN for honoring Leah Thomas in its Celebrating Women's History Month segment. That's right. She tied with former Penn swimmer Leah Thomas. Yeah, Thomas' performance in the pool caused a firestorm last year. Quote, Leah Thomas is not a brave, courageous woman who earned a national title, Gaines tweeted Sunday. He is an arrogant cheat who stole a national title from a hard-working, deserving woman. The @NCAA is responsible. This woman is pissed, and I don't blame her. Quote, if I was a woman working at ESPN, I would walk out. You're spineless at ESPN. Nice. ESPN didn't immediately respond to Fox News Digital for comment. I'm reading from Fox News. The segment brought up Thomas's transition from male to female to win at the NCAA championships and competing amidst criticism for the swimming world. Huh. People will say, oh, she just transitioned so she would have an advantage, so she could win. I transitioned to be happy, Thomas said in the segment. Yes, and you won. You won. You were a mediocre male swimmer. I think what he was ranked something like 300th as a male swimmer, or 500th, something like that. He was not a champion swimmer. Because there are differences. Believe it or not, men have stronger upper body strength. That's just the way that is. Thomas's participation in the NCAA women's swimming during the 21-22 season sparked a growing debate over the fairness of transgender women competing against biological females. She became the first transgender woman to win an Ivy League championship and later the NCAA championship in the 500 free. But the wins didn't come without scrutiny and put a sharper focus on the governing bodies of various sports to set rules regarding trans athletes' participation. I don't know how you feel about this. Good for Riley Gaines. This is a woman who tied with this guy, and she's hacked off. The tweet was dead on. Leah Thomas is not a brave, courageous woman who earned, all caps in the word earned, a national title. He is an arrogant cheat who stole a national title from a hard-working, deserving woman. And the NCAA is responsible. Way to put it out there. And this whole woke business where ESPN is having this race with all the other media corporations to see who can out-woke each other. And it's about time that somebody call them on it. And I love this part, where the woke are starting to fight amongst themselves. When you have biological women saying to trans women, no, you're not the victim, I'm the victim. If I were a woman working at ESPN, she says, I would walk out. You're spineless, ESPN. How very true. You're working at ESPN, and you see them honoring a man as a woman. What do? I see this all over. I see this in corporations, and people talk to me about it. Because you're at work, and you're forced to give your pronouns. All right, fine. I got to put he, his, him on my business cards. You roll your eyes, because you have to feed your family. Then you go to the staff meeting, and your new woke manager says, all right, well, let's go around the room, introduce ourselves, tell us what department you're with, and give us your pronouns. And you can see around the table the inaudible groans as everybody goes, my pronouns are this. And you have to give them. When really you want to say, I'm not doing that. But You don't want to get fired. You don't want to get written up. But you do it anyway because you got to have your job. And then there's somebody who's transgender. Let's say it's a guy who identifies as a woman. And like Leah Thomas, is obviously biologically a dude, but demands to be called she and referred to as her. Now you're stuck in a position to either keep calling, you know, a guy who was Lee, now Leah. Now you need to talk to Leah and just calling this person Leah. Well, I'll give this to Leah and say, Leah's not in. I'll talk to Leah. And at some point you screw up and you go, well, he's not in. At which point you are sent to HR. And then you screw up again. And then you're supposed to say she. And then you've got a very important decision to make. Do you give in and call this man she? Now you can. You can call this man she. Keep your job. But there's something that goes on that the woke world doesn't quite understand. One, you know that she is not a she. Now, she might very well identify as a she. She might think she's a she. You know she's not a she. She thinks that she is a she, and that gender is how you identify, and that her chromosomes don't matter. You know that he doesn't have ovaries. He does not have a uterus. He does not have a vagina. He doesn't have fallopian tubes. He doesn't have an XX chromosome. But there's something more. If you call him she, you are lying. And it is your own set of values and your own moral code. Now you can say, the HR department will say, you are not respecting her. You are not respecting her identity. You're not respecting her decision to transition into her new life. And when you turn around and say, yes, but Leah, formerly Lee, is not respecting my decision, to use grammar correctly. I can't say they, because there aren't two Leahs there. There's only one Leah. And she's not respecting my decision. This has to be a two-way street. That gets you nowhere in the woke world. Respect only goes in one direction, to the woke. It doesn't come back to you. But there's this other part of, I don't want to lie. And so you must make a decision. Do you lie? And in front of your children, do you lie and call a man her? Forget the bad grammar. In order to keep your job, do you lie? And it's very easy to say you shouldn't lie at your job. Just, you know, don't lie. Well, then you get fired. That's what this is all about. So ESPN is celebrating a man as a woman. The woman who's a competitor who tied said, this is BS. Good for her. More people need to speak out. And more people at work need to speak out and say, I'm not going to lie. I am not going to lie. I am not going to use pronouns because you're asking me to lie. I have rights. You're not asking me to change my religion to keep this job. so you cannot ask me to lie. We need to make this a moral argument. What do you think? 303-696-1971. In for George, I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. It's 8:30. I'm John Caldera. Thanks for spending some time with me. You're on 710 KNUS. Yes, I just took a sip of iced tea. It wasn't scotch. I don't have scotch until 9 a.m. So, the female swimmer who tied a male swimmer who thinks he's a female is angry. Angry at ESPN. ESPN, in their celebrating Women's History Month, did a segment on Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas, the first trans woman to win an NCAA division, did a wonderful little segment on Women's Month. Did they not know they were going to walk into it? So this leads to a couple questions. If this is going to be the new woke way of doing things, if men and women are going to be competing now, then you're going to have trans women, men, competing in women's sports, shouldn't we just do it? There is a move now to bring back the Equal Rights Amendment. I've always been skeptical of it. I'm getting less skeptical of it. And here's why. Now with the new trans movement and the wokeness of it all, part of me says, bring it on. Let's not discriminate based on sex at all. At all. You want to do this? You want to play by these rules? Let's play by these rules. Let's not have any discrimination based on your genitals. Based on the XY chromosome. So let's just open it up. You want to have a swim meet? Great. We're gonna do it all open. We do this with what? So much else in high school and college. Do they have a men's debate team and a women's debate team? Is there a men's chess team and a women's, there's women's chess and there's men's chess and a women's debate team and a men's debate. No, it's all the same. Shouldn't we do that the same way with sports? It's March Madness. Let's just have one team per school. We try out and whoever makes it, makes it. We have wrestling. Whoever makes it, makes it. Well, that's not fair for the girls. Well, tough. Tough. Here we have it. If you're not going to discriminate on the basis of sex, don't discriminate on the basis of sex. What will happen is they'll end up having weight categories. We'll end up having weight categories or height categories. in which case the men will still win. In something like swimming, overall, in height categories or weight categories, men who have usually more upper body strength will usually be better swimmers, will usually be able to lift more. On average. California passed a law saying that corporations of a certain size need to have a certain number of women on their board of directors. This is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. This is a privately held corporation. Who's on your board of directors is left up to your stockholders. The owners of the company get to decide who's on your board. That's the way that works. We own this company. We decide. No, say the social justice warriors in the state legislature and the governor. They say, you need someone with diverse genitalia. You must have the right genitals in order to run this company. This company produces jock straps. We don't care. It's so important that you need women in the jock strap industry. Yeah, but this company over here, we produce and market jock itch cream. Doesn't matter. You need women for this. Has to be women for this company. Well, if we pass the ERA, then they can't discriminate based on gender. Say, sorry, you can't force us to hire women. That's discriminating based on gender. How do you solve this problem? 303-696-1971. Let's talk to Russ. Russ, welcome. You're with John Caldera. So very glad to have you.
Yeah. Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm terrific. Thank you.
Oh, great. Well, you know, this is, you know, I hate to say it. I ain't supposed to, but, you know, this is civil rights not having any kind of definition, whatever it was. You know, it came about. I mean, it was always open to interpretation, however you want to interpret it, however you want to write it, however you want to make it, and whoever you want to make it and whatever you want to make it around and for. So it's limitless. It's unlimited as far as what you want to do and fill in the blanks with that name and that word. And then the government comes in and protects everybody. I mean, it's man-made rights. It's not constitutional rights. It's his bottom line. And the Constitution states that, you know, the government shouldn't have too many rights over the people. But once you introduce civil rights, boom, bam, bam, they're in.
I'm not following you. Well, say that a little differently for me.
Okay. Well, civil rights replace constitutional rights. Put the government in control instead of what the Constitution said. No, you're not in control, and you can't be in that control of people because freedom will rule instead. So, I mean, civil rights is I don't want to say a backdoor way, but it's a backdoor way for the government to.
Well, I mean, the Constitution grants us civil rights. It says we have the right.
No, it doesn't it doesn't grant us civil rights because civil rights comes from man. It comes from government. It comes from regulation. Freedom. Freedom you're born
with. Slow down. You're confusing me. You're confusing me. I want to understand as well as you do.
Right.
I read in the Constitution that we the people have a right to free speech, that we have a right to peaceably assemble, that we have a right to religion, that we have a right to press, that we have a right to keep and bear arms, we have a right to our items, that we have a right to our papers and effects. Those are all civil rights, and they're in our Constitution.
Where do you get those rights you just mentioned? Where do you get them?
You're born with them. You don't get them from the government. You don't get them from law. You don't get them from regulation.
Right,
you're
but they're,
born
they're,
with them. You got them. You don't need civil rights. Civil rights comes from man, comes from government, comes from regulation, comes from legislation.
Let me rephrase. You're saying that we are born with civil liberties. Slow down, slow down. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to articulate what I think you're trying to express. You're saying that we have natural rights, including our civil liberties, that they are expressed legally through the Constitution and laws, correct?
They're guaranteed to you by the Constitution. How you are, you can have to express them, or you cannot express them.
Right, they're guaranteed by the Constitution. Agreed. Huh? All right, so we're saying the same thing, aren't we?
No, we're not, because you keep bringing up that word civil rights. And once you bring in civil rights, that's a whole different set of rights. It's not constitutional rights anymore. It's rights that matter.
All right, can I say we have constitutionally protected rights? Would that be more to your liking?
It's not protected once you get civil rights in there. Then it goes to whatever they want.
Do we not have a constitutionally protected right to free speech?
We should. Yeah.
Do we not? We isn't it not? I read it there. It sure seems like we have a constitutionally protected right to speech.
What it says and what happens and what is and what does. I mean, the media dominates the free speech.
You don't like the way it is practiced. Well, you don't like the way the courts have interpreted our guaranteed right to free speech. Fine, but it's right there.
You're trying to pare this down.
All I'm saying is the Constitution lists a right of free speech.
Right. Yes.
All right. So we're in agreement. All right. I know you want to needle this that you don't like the way the courts have interpreted the Constitution. You and me both, brother. What's your point?
When you call it civil rights, then it's not constitutional anymore.
Okay. Fine.
That's my point.
All right. And therefore,
There are two sets of rights we're talking to.
You're needling over nothing. And therefore what?
No.
I'm losing my patience over your argument over nothing. Therefore what?
Therefore civil rights is unconstitutional.
All right, go back to vocabulary school. You win, I lose. Is that what you want to hear?
Yes.
All right, congratulations. I'm completely wrong. Goodbye. Oh, my God. There are no civil rights. All right, we have natural rights. Those natural rights come to us from nature's law. So expressed by Jefferson, as best as a human can. Among those rights, our life.
Hold on. I got a question here.
Excuse me.
I have a question. I got my hand up in the back here.
Yeah, it's you. You in the back.
Yeah, that if we're talking about natural rights, the rights that exist inside of nature.
Natural law.
Okay, even then.
Let me be really clear here.
Yeah.
Natural law is a tradition of how people get along, and it's a tradition that came out of what we call natural law, God's law. It has a tradition from English law that was codified. We see it in Magna Carta.
Yeah.
It is how people get along.
Yeah. And manifest destiny and the idea. I understand that. But then when the issue I've got, and not necessarily disagreeing with the caller, but the issue I've got when we talk about the idea of natural law, we're assuming that there's a whole group of these laws that are given to us by God, which we can assume. But if we're talking about it being natural, look at the laws that he has governing the rest of nature, not necessarily things that we want to live under. So if we want to talk about being governed by a natural law, that is at its core survival of the fittest.
No, but again,
I understand the issue. I understand how we interpret natural law, because what we want to say is that the world and God has given us all of these rights and values and morals. And I'm saying that's a difficult conversation.
You're using the wrong definition.
I disagree. I believe that when people are using natural law, they are trying to ascribe a series of morals and values in which they really should just say God's law rather than saying
it's
natural
law. It's not God's
law.
No.
I disagree.
You can disagree all you like. Let me try it a different way.
Okay.
When our founders put together the two documents that put together our system of governance, they based it on the traditions that came out of thousands of years of tradition of people working amongst themselves. It is a tradition of law that became what was termed natural law. And it really doesn't have to do with how the sun rises or how God created the man. It has to do with how we work together with a tradition of man being sovereign. That is, man has certain rights as a sovereign individual, that man has a right to own property, a right to defend himself, a right to speak, a right to believe his own religion. And so out of those traditions, those natural traditions of self-determination, grew these traditions of laws. And that's how this legal tradition that grew out of thousands of years of traditional law, that's where we get nature's
–
that's what became natural law.
I understand that. And the issue that I have is it really is just a
– It's not like survival of the fittest laws.
But what I'm saying is it's really for me a semantic argument. And I understand that it is inexact, and I understand that it is preferential to me and myself. But to me – it is the misuse of the word natural, because when you were talking about it there, that entire definition, you use the word tradition 10 times more than you used natural. Because if we go to the definition of natural law, the secondary definition is the survival of the fittest, laws of nature, things that we can't explain, phenomena that exist. So if we're talking about what happens in nature, if we went to the existence of man and the core existence, I'm not so certain that at our core we start out being these moral, wonderful individuals.
Oh, absolutely.
I have seen a room full of preschoolers. They're monsters at times, and there is very much a natural order that takes place based on survival of the fittest. So what I just said is the last caller, I disagreed with his idea that it is nature and or, you know, this God that has done this. We have to give more, like you just did, talked about our tradition as humans, how, you know, when we started out, we didn't gather in communities that had these wonderful traditional laws about, our self-sovereignty. We banded together so that the other group of people over the hill didn't kill us.
Right.
So,
in economics, they call it spontaneous order.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah.
But in the rules of the legal codes, particularly out of England, they come out of this tradition of order that happens over the generations. And they called it natural law in the same way we might call it tradition. And the tradition grew out of these ideas that man is sovereign, even though they had a sovereign king. You know, when Magna Carta was created, it was this amazing step that said, all right, king, you get to keep your kinghood, but we, in order for you to stay king, you have to give up all these rights to we the people. And it was a huge step in what then led to our Constitution centuries later. And so when Jefferson talked about God and nature's law, because now everything that is natural to us means, you know, Quakers, oats, and granola foods. No, back then we were talking about the tradition of law that has individual at the center of it, not your majesty. That, you know, when you think about the American founding, what's so unique about it, at the end of it, at the very core of it, is the individual, not the tyrant. That's what nature's law is about. And so it's not the sunrise. It's not man eating man. It's the thousands of years of tradition of these are, you know, we call them civil rights, but the idea that you have a right to own property. Holy hell. It used to be the king owned everything. You might have a lease on it, but the king could take it any time. You have the right to have the relationships you want. You have the right to speak up and even say bad things about the king. You have the, you know, the right to defend yourself, meaning you get to have a gun and defend your family and your stuff. I mean, these rights, you have a right to have a religion other than the religion the king chose. These are revolutionary ideas. And so, yeah, those are civil liberties that you have naturally from nature's law. And they're codified in our Constitution along with lots of other rights that the Constitution didn't even think of or have there. That's why it said your rights are including everything we wrote and all the ones we didn't write. Really pretty fascinating document the more you learn about it. But we're late for a break, ain't we? Yes, we are. We'll take a break. I'm John Gelbera. Keep it here, 710 KNUS. John Caldera in for George. Time is tight. Dan is on the line. Let's see how much of that call we can get in. Dan, you're going to have to go at warp speed. Welcome.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Hi, John. Thank you for welcoming me. Okay. The last caller who called, I'd just like to refine something that he was saying. I think he was trying to say was that what I'm trying to say is that the U.S. Constitution does not grant us rights. No piece of paper grants us rights. Rights come from God. They're inalienable to us as the skin. You can't separate John Caldera from his skin. The rights come from, are a part of you just as much as your skin is. The Constitution, what it does, is not grant you and I rights. It limits governmental power. That's
agreed.
I did not hear him mention that, but that's, I think, what he was trying to say. But that is what that's a true understanding of the Constitution. It's not, it doesn't give us rights. If it gave us rights, then amending it, repealing it through constitutional convention would take away our rights. That's not true. The Constitution limits governmental power. Our rights come to us because we're born.
Point well taken. Point well taken. I tell you what, thanks for the call. Let's dive into this a little bit more in the next hour. I'm John Caldera. Keep it here, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.